This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, I will wait. I will wait for Aaron Rodgers. I think you're all crazy. I think we're making up stories about how he's a bad guy. He thinks different. He says some things that, you know, listen, do I agree with everything he says? No. Do I mean I have to hate him? No. I feel like that's an issue with our country right now. We got to, like, dislike everybody who says things we don't agree with. Not to get political. I have no interest in it. But I'm just saying. Like, yes, he says interesting things. He challenges Fauci to debates on vaccines. That is different. I'll give you that. He was considering running for vice president. That is different. I'll give you that. For now. I don't know about kneeling at all. I guess I could kneel. Hey, listen, if you need it, Aaron, I'll kneel for you.
For you.
Yeah, because my other options are Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco.
I'll
wait for you, Aaron. Here's the banjo part. All right. I will wait. I love Mumford & Son. Went to go see them in Philadelphia a long time ago. One of the first things I ever did with my wife. That's how long it's been. It's got to be 10 years now. Anyway... Yeah, no, I have no problem with him. We're making up reasons why he's a bad guy in the room. I mean, we're just flat out making it up. You know, he has no interest in developing a young quarterback. Loved it, okay. You know, he's washed up. He's terrible. Okay, if he throws 28 touchdown passes and for 4,000 yards with the Giants this year, the Giants are going to win more football games than six. He's a bad guy in the locker room. Everybody loves him. You know, they won't be able to, the coaches won't be able to hold players accountable. Last year at the podium, while Robert Saleh was telling everybody, oh, maybe we need to change up the cadence at the line of scrimmage. What did Aaron Rodgers say? Nope. We need to hold players accountable for not understanding it, not getting it. So he holds players accountable. He's beloved by his entire team. He put up numbers that were, you know, top five in Jets history for a season. And if he does that with the New York Giants, he's going to probably be everything we hoped he would be and win 7 or 8 games while developing a young quarterback. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know why everyone's like, oh, what is he going to do for you? What is he going to do for me? He's going to give me the best possible quarterback play I can as of right now. And he's going to give my young quarterback, a 4-time MVP Super Bowl champion, to learn from. And even if he's not interested in doing it, just through osmosis, just watching the guy play, just watching the guy go about business. Shane McMahon in the at the Knick game. He's not in Brussels right now? The WWE? Is at the Garden? I see him at Yankee games all the time, too. Shaney Mac. Shane O'Mac. 888-808-1019. But, yeah, Rodgers is the perfect fit. He gives the Giants everything they need. And so I will wait for it. The owner needs wins. The owner needs to feel better. Aaron Rodgers is by far. Now, they could have done other things, right? And they tried. And now you're learning out why they tried to go get Matthew Stafford, because who knows what's going to happen with the first two picks. It already sounds like Tennessee's not trading up. I just saw, you know, McShay, on ESPN, say that he thinks that now Shedeur Sanders is possibly, you know, in the mix to get drafted by the Browns at 2. I mean, who knows? This is the time of year where everyone's getting fed lies and we have no idea what's going on. But the Giants might not be able to get there. They have the 3rd pick in a 2-quarterback draft. You have no idea if they're going to be able to get the quarterback. The owner demands to feel better, win some more games. Aaron Rodgers, if after not getting Matthew Stafford, after not signing Sam Darnold to a big contract, like, where else are they going to actually win some football games? I mean, we're all just mad at Aaron Rodgers because he couldn't turn around the Jets. He didn't go to Pittsburgh and ruin that franchise. The stable Pittsburgh Steelers, with one of the greatest head coaches of this generation, who win 10, 11 games every year, make it to the playoffs every year, haven't won a playoff game in God knows how long, but they are a stable organization. He didn't go there and ruin them. He couldn't overcome the Jets. At 40 years old, off an Achilles injury, he couldn't overcome the dysfunction that is the New York Jets. And we place all the blame on him and act like, well, what do you want to bring that losing over to the Giants? One, can you bring any more losing over to the Giants? Is it possible? Can you add anything to the Giants? Is there a way to get more losing into the franchise? Because I don't know how. And we talk about all this stuff with Aaron Rodgers. Like, he says wacky things on Pat McAfee, and he takes, you know, ayahuasca, and he goes on darkness retreats. He's a different thinking dude, no doubt about it. And I don't agree with everything he said, but every teammate adores him. The guy's a 4-time MVP. And there are no better options. So I'll wait. And I think he's the best quarterback to have in the room for a young quarterback that's available as well. I think he fits every problem the New York Giants have. And guess what? If it fails, here's the best part. If it fails, you go to the young quarterback you drafted. It's really not hard. And he's not in it's not in the same position. Like, everyone's like, oh, remember, look what happened with the Jets. He's going to ask for this one to come play and that one to come play. He came over to the New York Jets as Aaron Rodgers, the great Aaron Rodgers, who they traded a first-round pick and a second-round pick and a conditional pick. And, like, well, they moved heaven and earth to bring in Aaron Rodgers, and everybody was talking about taking them to the Super Bowl. He still had all the leverage in the world. It's different. It's different. He's walking the beach contemplating his life right now. He's 40 years old, a year removed from an Achilles injury. If he comes to the Giants, it's not a long-term solution. He knows the caliber of the roster. Like, this is not the same situation. And if it doesn't work, you cut it off quick and you go to the young kid. It's the perfect situation for the New York Giants, and I'll wait for it. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls. Lawrence in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence? How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I don't disagree with you that, like, Aaron Rodgers isn't washed. Like, he's still a good quarterback. But wherever he goes there, he comes with a certain scope that things are going to be, like, hyper-focused on. And the things he does, whether you agree with them or not, they're embarrassing sometimes, these things he's doing. And I'm already embarrassed with the play of the New York Giants, and I don't want the extra scope on a staff I don't believe in and on a team that's not good with an even harder schedule. Let's just get a rookie quarterback and have Jameis Winston in there, because I know who Jameis Winston is, how he's going to act, and he's not going to embarrass me. He's not going to go out there and do anything. There's a potential toxicity with Aaron Rodgers that I don't need when we're already so bad.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. What's the toxicity? Some comments he made on Pat McAfee?
Everyone who focuses on him. It's not his fault. Everybody focuses on him, and I don't want that.
But that's not toxic,
though. I don't want the scope on us.
But why is that toxic?
I don't want the scope on the Giants.
What do you mean you don't want the scope on the Giants? It's the NFL, buddy. You can't hide underneath your pillows. You want to just go about losing quietly? I don't want to go about losing quietly, man. That's not my goal. My goal is that I know I'm going to lose. Let's go lose quietly. Because I'll tell you, I also don't think the Giants are that far apart. I know they've been telling the world they're quarterback away. Maybe that's a bit much. But the idea that this terrible roster, I hear it constantly. Well, why? You know, who wants to go there? The Giants. What, Mr. T, as Mike used to call him, Tenenbaum, is on ESPN saying the Giants are a graveyard for NFL players. Why are they, like, it's just assumed that the Giants are going to be this awful team, that and I keep hearing this, the roster stinks, you know, why would he go there, the roster stinks. Why does the roster stink so much? Let's be totally honest, because they just spent how much money on their defense? Their defensive backfield, which was their biggest weakness, just got arguably the best corner in the free agent market, the best safety in the free agent market, and they had two young kids they drafted last year in Phillips and Tyler Naiman, who were as good as anybody as far as rookie. That was like part of the reason the rookie class was so good, were those two players. Andrew Phillips in particular was great. Drew Phillips was great. Now they've got some youth. They've got some depth. You know, Banks is no longer the starting number, is no longer the one cornerback. They still have Dexter Lawrence, who's the best defensive tackle in the game. And even if you question that, he certainly is when it comes after getting after the quarterback. You got Burns, you got Thibodeau. Like, why is that? Like, it didn't work out last year. They just made some defensive improvements. Why can't the defense be better? They got a legitimate number one with good quarterback play. I still think that you could see with this wide receiver group that you could see, like, I know this is hard to believe, but wide receivers might catch touchdowns with the New York Giants instead of Daniel Jones throwing them the ball. You got a young running back in Tracy. You got a Pro Bowl left tackle. Illuminor played really well. They did a bunch of depth signings. They're hopefully going to transition Evan Neal to interior linemen. They still have some interior linemen. They still can draft more, sign more, bring in more. Like, the idea of this roster is guaranteed to stink next year. I don't see it that way. I don't know if it's as easy as just plugging a quarterback and away we go, but they could be a hell of a lot better than we think really quickly. But we just throw out there, the roster sucks. The roster sucks. They can't win. They can't win. What do we care? I don't get this. Aaron Rodgers is toxic. He wasn't toxic in Green Bay. Oh, well, he was great in Green Bay. Well, I don't know what he was with the Jets for 1 year. You're telling me coming off a full year, which we have seen guys take full years, whether it's Achilles injuries, whether it's ACL injuries, we have seen athletes in both sports and certainly football, and really the only one who bucks the trend is Peterson. Peterson came back that first year after an ACL and won the MVP. Other than that, just look at Saquon Barkley. Took a year. There's a chance Aaron Rodgers comes back a year removed from that injury and he's better. And I don't buy into this toxic stuff because you can't find a teammate, right? Other than maybe through the media, Wilson, you know, kind of talking about his targets, even though he had the most receptions of his career. Aaron Rodgers is the guy. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, C-Mac, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right. You got me all riled up. Hey, by the way, you get home 1 in the morning, you're going to be able to sleep, but you're talking about getting your whole cycle screwed up.
Yeah, I know. It's going to... I'll figure it out.
I'm sure you'll adapt to it.
I'll figure it. Listen, hey, it's not so much falling asleep, it's staying asleep. And I think at 1 o'clock at night, I think I do a better job of it. So hopefully I'll be all right.
Nah, you'll be fine.
Thank you.
Let me get back to the Knicks. You got me... Yeah. Get back to the Giants for a second. The Knicks... You know, the days of Jerry Grody throwing the ball to the other side of the mound, I don't know if you remember that, where he used to get the pitch, make the final out, and he would throw it to the other side of the mound, so the pitcher would have to walk an extra 8 feet to hit the ball.
Okay.
Okay, and the days of Oakley, look, I think maybe they overdid it a little bit the other night, you know, but like you said, it's about wins, it's about losses. They have issues with defense, obviously, with the perimeter defense. They have issues with length. The biggest thing that's going to get the Celtics over, if Porzingis is healthy, they win again.
Yeah.
And that guy is never healthy. He misses 8 games, 6 games. So, you know, they're a good team. They're 5 up for the 3 seed. I don't see them losing that.
I agree.
But can they lose to a 6 seed? Absolutely. Teams that can run, if they don't play defense, but again, it does tighten up in the playoffs. Okay. With the Giants, that was the main reason I was going to call.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They have Tommy DeVito. I've been screaming for 2 years to you and everybody else on the radio. Where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
What direction do they do? Everything they've done, C-Mac, whether not signing McKinney, giving Jones the contract, even if they didn't pick him, passing Bo Nix, passing Tenets, picking Evan Neal. I don't know what they, you know, how good they are as far as their decision making. But yeah, Rodgers is not coming here. I hate to say it. He's going to go to Pittsburgh because they need somebody for Metcalf and Minnesota so he can teach McCarthy. I'd love to think he comes here. He's needed to come here because obviously they drafted a cornerback, the Giants. So Travis Hunter's probably out of the picture. Yes, the best scenario would be even if they got Jackson Duck as a pick, have Rodgers, then there's hope. Because this is going to be, I hate to say it, but I hope I'm wrong, this is another potential horrendous disaster. And these guys, their lives are dependent on it as far as their professional lives.
Yeah.
I hope they get Rodgers, but I don't know why he wants to come here. He's got 2 options to go.
Yeah. Listen, there's no question he wants Minnesota. Like I believe the reports. I think maybe there's a thought of retirement, but I think mainly it's he's waiting for Minnesota to make a decision on whether they want him or not. And then for this, that I agree with 100%. So if Minnesota says, yeah, what the hell, we're not sure about when he's going to be ready, you know, J.J. McCarthy, that is, and we're not sure whether or not we even like J.J. McCarthy, whatever the case may be. Although I did see Joe Burrow had some really amazing comments about how he's very confident and high on J.J. McCarthy, but that's neither here nor there. If he's told no by Minnesota and it comes down to the Giants and the Steelers, I agree with you. I would think the Steelers make more sense. One, as of right now, they don't have that young quarterback to even worry about. He can go there, and if he plays well, he could have next year or sign another 2-year deal or whatever the case may be. He could be there for a short run as the Steelers' quarterback. Plus, he's got, you know, Metcalf and Pickens. He's got a defense with Watt. Like, I do think it's probably, now look, it's a very difficult division, but so is the New York Giants in the East with now Washington and Philadelphia, that you could say are the 2 best teams in the conference, you know, along with, you know, Detroit. So it's a wash there. The only thing I would say is, one, if he's comfortable in this city, if he does want to stick it a little bit to the Jets and Woody Johnson, just playing across town, if he won some games and had a surprise year. Plus, there is something that I heard Tiki talk about that I don't pretend to be able to get into the head of Aaron Rodgers. That's a very difficult and scary place to be. So I don't know. I can't pretend I know him. But the idea of going to the stable, you know, with the... A stable team that is the Steelers and trying to compete with Burrow as they just re-up their wide receivers. We'll get into that a little bit later. And, you know, some of the other NFL contracts that might impact the Jets moving forward. The idea that he gets to play hero and resurrect the Giants and come to New York and in some way do what he set out to do, even though he doesn't do it with the Jets. And to save the New York Giants and bring them back from the depths. I mean, if he feels he can go win a Super Bowl, and that's really what it comes down to. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers' ultimate goal is. You know, maybe he likes the Brian Daboll offense. Maybe he meets with Brian Daboll and thinks Brian Daboll can give him one hell of a season, and he's already had his championship. I don't know how likely it is in the AFC with Patrick Mahomes and Burrow and Lamar Jackson and obviously Allen, the MVP, all in the league. Does he really think he can go to Pittsburgh and win a Super Bowl, or would he rather come into an offense he feels more confident with a young Malik Nabers who he believes could be a superstar and have a better season and put up better numbers? And also, I don't know, leave a legacy of helping the young quarterback. I don't know. But I do agree it's a long shot, certainly as long as Minnesota's still on the table. And I would think that Pittsburgh presents a better option for him. But it is not my job to convince Aaron Rodgers. All I can tell you is what I think is best for the New York Giants. In my mind, the New York Giants should wait. They should, unless they get the feel it's not going to happen. Like, they got the feel on certain things that weren't going to happen, right? I think Sam Darnold kind of was that. Where if you thought about bringing Sam Darnold here, that would have made a lot of sense for the New York Giants. If they were willing to trade for Matthew Stafford, why not pay Sam Darnold? He just won 14 games. He threw 35 touchdown passes. He threw for 4,000 yards. You bring him in here. The money wasn't crazy for a starting quarterback with what he got in Seattle. You know, you're growing up with him in that offense, but my guess is that Sam had no interest in heading back to New York. So if you get that feel that Rodgers isn't going to look at you, then you move on. But until then, I am waiting for Aaron Rodgers because it's not only the best option, it's really the only option I think impacts this team in any positive way. The rest is just noise. The quarterbacks aren't that good. I don't think they win any games, and I really don't feel like it has an impact on the organization that Rodgers have. Believe it or not, I'm in the weird camp where I think Aaron Rodgers coming here would have a tremendous positive impact on the organization. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls next on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bum, 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 bum. 827, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Got into a little bit of football. We'll get to the Johnnies and their two seed and their path to the Final Four as they late tip on Thursday night, 945. We'll see when I'm on. Maybe we'll be riding against it. But I mean, that turnaround and what St. John's has become, what St. John's, the story is here. I mean, there is no question. It is the one college team that anybody gives a damn about in this town. It's the one. And right now they are flying the quick turnaround. I remember thinking, not that I never thought that Rick Pitino would make it work, because I always thought Pitino would make it work. But last year, February, ugly loss to Seton Hall. And after the game, he just kills his team. You guys remember that press conference? They're slow. They're laterally slow. Remember that? I just don't think they're good. They're laterally slow. I've never enjoyed coaching a season less. Even when I was losing in with the Celtics, I enjoyed it more than I enjoy this. They're not talented. They're slow. It's a disaster. I was just like, what is he saying? Rick, no one expects you to turn it around in 1 year. Hell, no one expects you to turn it around in two. What are you saying? You're killing your team. And then from that moment on, they played better down the stretch and almost forced their way into the tournament. And then this year has been, you know, they made some changes, brought some guys in through the portal, paid a little bit of money. And right now, this team... Right, we opened the show talking about the Knicks and their toughness. You go to, I mean, the grittiness of this St. John's team and the way they play defense and the way they squeeze every bit out of every ounce of talent they have. And it's just going to look, I don't think Omaha should have, we've got to get that Eli Manning sound effect. Omaha! I don't think Omaha should be a problem. I wouldn't expect the next round to be a problem, but there goes the lights at 8:30. But as they move forward, obviously they're in a tough bracket with Florida. It's going to be everybody's trendy pick right now to win the national championship is Florida. They got a tough three seed in Texas Tech. So it is not an easy path for this team, but they don't do anything easy. And this is going to be a gritty, hard-fought tournament for them after taking care of the Big East regular season, winning the Big East tournament relatively easy. They've been the best team in the East by a mile on a down year for the Big East for the most part. Five teams in. Obviously, the SEC, 14, broke the previous record of 11. So plenty of teams, plenty of good teams in this league, plenty of good teams in this bracket going to be tough. But it's going to come down to what it always comes down to with St. John's and this team. Can they hit their threes? Can they hit their foul shots? And we'll see. We'll get into them a little bit more. 888-808-1019. Talking Aaron Rodgers and Giants quarterbacks at the moment. Let's go to Phil in Brooklyn. What's up, Philip?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
I spoke to you once before about wanting Winston and the fact that I play fantasy football, so he would help there.
I remember the call.
This is my fear.
Yeah.
Waiting on Watt Rogers.
Yes.
Winston signs backup somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're stuck with either Flacco or Russell Wilson. We don't get Cam Ward, and maybe we don't get Sanders. Then what happens?
I think the ground underneath MetLife Stadium just, you know, rises up and takes everybody down. I don't know.
Thinking that it can't get worse.
Well, of course, they miss out on everybody. Yeah, that they don't sign a quarterback and they don't draft a quarterback, and they you know, we're playing with Tommy DeVito or, you know, whoever else it could be.
Is there any other name besides Ward and Sanders in the draft that possibly the Giants could be looking at?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think at three, possibly trading down. I don't know. I wouldn't do that. I don't want to trade down. I'll be totally honest with you. I want that third pick. I like premium players. I know you could sell me on all these picks and writing the Herschel Walker trade or whatever else you want to throw in my face. I like premium players, and there are two great players in this draft. Right, whatever you think of the quarterbacks, I think we all understand that they're not the elite-level prospects. I think Cam Ward can be one hell of a quarterback in this league, and I think Shedeur Sanders can be a starter in this league. And you can win with him. I don't know if you can win with only him. I don't think he's Allen. I don't think he's Mahomes. But I think you can win with him. I want one of those two quarterbacks. But if I'm picking third, and either they're not there or the Giants don't feel the same way as I do about Sanders, I don't want to trade back, get more picks, and take Jackson Dart 9th or 10th or whatever. I don't want to do that. I'd rather just take one of the two premier players in this draft, Hunter or Carter. I'd rather do that. I want the great players. When I'm picking third, I want a franchise quarterback, or I want a great player. I don't want to mess around, trade back, and fool myself that I can be right on three or four different picks when they haven't been right on hardly any over the first 3 years of their tenure. I'd rather take the great player. And I do believe those two players have a chance to be great in this league. But moving back into the first, or if a quarterback falls to them at two in the second round or the third round, to me it's got to be the first or second round. Otherwise it doesn't have that sort of gravitas to it. It doesn't have that feel like this is our next guy. Third or later feels like a flyer to me. First two rounds, certainly the first round, but the first two rounds sounds like conviction. I want that conviction. That's why I want the Giants to trade up to number one. That's my ideal situation. Trade up to number one, take the quarterback. Even if they take Sanders, I would take Ward, and I'll be a little puzzled if they move up to take Sanders. It doesn't feel like that's going to be needed necessarily. But if they move up to one, then I know this is the quarterback they believe is the best in the draft and is the kind of quarterback that can win them a championship. That's conviction. I want conviction. I don't want to sit back and wonder if they just took Shedeur Sanders at three because we had to take a quarterback and he was there at three. I want to know this is who they believe in. I want that conviction. And if they're right, I don't give a damn what they trade. I don't care how many first-round picks. I don't care who they have to give up. If they move up to one and Cam Ward is who they think he is, then there is no price that isn't good enough. There is no price I won't pay. So that's what I want. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? I have no idea what's going to happen. That's why Eddie and Rockland's on the line. And Eddie and Rockland calls me a lot. And Eddie tries to tell me that because they offered a contract and were willing to negotiate a trade for Matthew Stafford, that means they don't like the quarterback. I disagree. It means they know that this situation can end up snake eyes, no quarterback, and what the hell do they do? It's a two-quarterback draft, and they have the third pick. And that goes back to tanking. That damn Colts game.
Do not miss your chance to blow.
Do not miss your chance to blow. Listen, Jameis Winston's my second guy. That's who I would want second, if not Aaron Rodgers. But it's not such an upgrade over the other options that I'm not willing to wait for Rodgers. I'm willing to wait. Gene in Stamford, what's up, Gene?
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking my phone call.
You got it,
enjoy
buddy.
The show.
Thank you.
I'm a Denver fan, but around here I probably favor the Jets. So watch Aaron. And I'll tell you, you can win. You know, Peyton Manning at the end of his career did a great job in Denver. So you can win with an aging superstar for sure. You know, they don't have to be in their MVP form to really win. Also watch Russell Wilson. I agree with him. He was terrible at the Broncos. But with Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's definitely got the talent. He's who I would want for the Giants right now. But I don't think he's a distraction, but I think sometimes he's just full of it, where, you know, he talks about football being the main thing and wanting to not have any distractions, but then he creates them himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's just, you know, he's not really aware of, or he's just full of it, where he doesn't follow his own advice. And so that's what I'd be worried about with Rodgers, where he just starts going off on tangents and it's not the leader that you really need at this stage.
Yeah, I don't think they necessarily go hand in hand. I do hear what you're saying. When he scolded the Jets as an organization for having too many distractions and not doing things that were only about winning, and then going on Pat McAfee and talking about, you know, the Epstein list and Jimmy Kimmel, yes, I agree with you. That is hypocritical. It's hypocritical to, you know, rub the Jets' face in, you know, what they're doing and creating distractions, and then go create them on your own accord. I don't think he associates outside the building with inside the building, and he's wrong. And it's hypocritical, and I disagree with him. I don't necessarily that means he can't be a leader. I don't view it as such. And if you look at the team, you look at, like, again, even in Green Bay, what was the issue? Yeah, we heard some stuff that he wasn't great with young wide receivers, but he's hard on players. Tom Brady screamed in everybody's face, no one cares. Not a single person is going to call me up and say, you know, he threw wide receivers under the bus. That's what I hear about Aaron Rodgers. He threw wide receivers under the bus. Tom Brady screamed in everyone's face at every little, like, just admonished and completely, you know, just got in every offensive lineman, wide receivers, tight ends. It didn't matter. Tom Brady was in your face. That was leading. Aaron Rodgers does it, and for the Jets only win 6 games, he's throwing players under the bus. Let's go to Daniel in Babylon. He's been on hold a lot. Thank you for holding, Dan. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? First time, long time. How you doing today?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Good. Not too bad. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Mets, which switch gears a little
That's
bit.
That's fine. We're going to get into baseball here in a little bit, so sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I mean, split squad today, great performances by both clubs. You know, there's this little bit of second base, I guess, you know, who's going to play, Beatty, or is it going to be Acuna?
But yeah.
There's a stud in the minor leagues, and I got another opportunity today by the name of Nick Rizzelli. I don't know if you heard of him or saw him today, but Mendoza puts him in to pinch hit again in the eighth inning for Marte. Comes up huge, smokes a double off the right field wall. He's 2-for-4, batting .500. He's a name to watch. I don't know if you've heard of him at all, or
I mean, he's not a name to watch for the current. Is this Daniel Roselli on the line with me or no?
Nick Roselli.
No, I know. I'm asking if you're related in any way.
Oh no. I'm just a Levittown Division product.
Ah, no. Listen. Yeah. I. He's had 4 at bats. He's not an answer for second base right now. All right, you want to talk about him? The Mets have a couple of prospects, infield prospects, right? I would think, for me, and I know I've talked to a couple of Mets fans, I was talking to Hoffman today about this, Pete Hoffman, producer extraordinaire, midday show, Rico Bronya podcast, and big-time Mets fan. He disagrees with me. I still want to give Beatty some time. I want Beatty to have a little bit of time off of this hot spring and put him in there at second base. Now, because the nature of the injury is literally a month, right? If McNeil was hurt for longer, I might feel different. But the idea, a month defensively, and he was playing second base today, I saw some highlights, Beatty at second base. I think Beatty can handle the position for a little bit. I really want to get a feel for Beatty offensively this year. After last year, he was given third base. It didn't work out. Then Vientos comes up. It's unbelievable how great he was. He takes off, and Beatty is never heard from again, except for all the reports of the home runs he hits in AAA. Like, you send him down the second he goes down that day. Like, he gets off the plane and goes 2-for-4 with a home run in AAA. Right? So we know he can hit down there. I really would like to see him get a month. Like, if it was a long-term issue at second base, I wouldn't be willing to trust the defense for that long a period. So I would probably go Acuna. But Acuna really hasn't had a lot of at-bats. I know he had a great run filling in for Lindor at shortstop. The Mets have already told you they don't necessarily need a backup shortstop, that they'll, you know, live with, you know, obviously Lindor, and then maybe the emergency shortstop, and then bring up Acuna or whoever else they want to have come play second, come play shortstop if there's an injury. But they don't plan on, you know, giving Lindor a day off once a week, you know, once every week and a half. They're not going to do it. So for me, I would love to see Beatty get some at-bats, take this hot spring, see if he could start the year off well. Because you know what? If you can get Beatty in the middle to back end middle of this lineup, add another pop, like a big-time pop left-handed hitter. We don't know. Like, last year, Nimmo was so up and down. When he's on, he goes on these tears, and he's a dangerous left-handed hitter. But he's dealing with a knee injury. You know, you could DH him. He's not, you know, he's not great in center. He's okay in left. Like, he's been up and down. I would really, this lineup, you want to talk about competing with the Dodgers. And unfortunately, everyone in the National League has to ask themselves that question. Thankfully, the Yankees don't. How do you get past the Los Angeles Dodgers? And if you could have a bat like Beatty, which I believe in, and I think can really become a power-hitting slugger, left-handed in this lineup, to go along with Vientos and Alonso as right-handed hitters, and you have Soto, you have obviously Nimmo, which I gave you a little bit on, but like the pop that you would get from the switch-hitting Lindor, left-handed Soto, right-handed Alonso, right-handed Vientos, you'd mix in a left-handed Beatty. I think that really is a dynamic, powerful lineup. If it were all year, I'd probably give it to Acuna, let him play. Who cares? He's the second baseman. The lineup's good enough anyway. You want to be secure defensively. You figure it out. But for a month, I like the idea of giving him a month to see if he can prove over a month that he can hit major league pitching. And then you make the decision from there and you stick with him. Or, you know, because I could see like a kind of a platoon thing, because I don't think McNeil is that good. I think there's a really good opportunity here where they might find out they're better off. Right, McNeil's a one-tool player where that tool has not been good for 2 years. His defensive flexibility is not nearly as important to this team with the amount of outfielders they have. I know Winker, you know, I guess cramped up today, but he sounds like he feels like he's going to be okay. Like, they have so many outfielders. It's not that it can't be useful. It's just not as useful to this team as it has been the last couple of years. He hasn't been successful. You know, he's a moping kind of guy. He's always pissed off at something. Like, I think they could do a lot better at second base. I think you could probably end up trading him, and you take Beatty, and if he figures out who he is, I think that could be a real impact in this lineup. So for me, I would love to see Beatty get the job out of spring training. I'd love to start the year with Beatty as my second baseman, see if he can play there, see if he can hit. You give him a month, McNeil comes back, and then you work him into the lineup. You have that answer. You have that option. You could DH him, do different things with him. I want to give him a month, though. I think giving Acuna a month and then sending him back to minor leagues, you know, he'll probably struggle out of the gate offensively, I would think. Maybe not. But he really hasn't had a lot of fine-tuning. He hasn't had a lot of development. Let's get him a bunch of at-bats in the minor leagues before bringing him up and use the utility guy, that 26th man on the roster, to some, you know, no-name major league caliber infielder. 888-808-1019. More basketball, more St. John's, more Aaron Rodgers. A little bit more Knicks after the Knick game. Right now we're at the half. McMonagle here with you on our ride to midnight as we take you all the way to midnight tonight right here on The Fan.
And when this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 8:50, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. The thing with the Mets is, as we were just talking about Mets, it's not right now, second base is a question, but I got to be honest with you. I have been railing over the last, you know, couple months about David Stearns and how he handles the Met rotation. I've been talking about this for a while. And while I understand it's smart that the you don't want to sign these long-term deals for pitchers, we're seeing it all over the league. I know the Yankee fan, and even the Mets who are dealing with it, right? They've, now, we'll see. Manaea's been back to throwing. And Montas, I'm not sure what the expectations were from the fan base anyway, but the organization ran out to give him $32 million over two years, but the Mets have themselves have dealt with injuries in the rotation. Clearly, the Yankees are devastated by injuries in the rotation. You look all throughout baseball, there's injuries to pitching, right? So the idea you don't want to give 30-something starting pitchers, and that's typically the age most pitchers hit the free agency, you don't want to sign these guys. You don't want to sign Burns, right? You look at the Yankees contract for Max Fried and go 8 years for Max Fried. That's crazy. Not doing it. And that makes sense, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad the Yankees did give Max Fried money, because where would this rotation be without the idea of having an ace at the top of the staff in Max Fried? In 2 years, he might go down, and we're all, you know, concerned about it, but in the moment, you need him. And that's what I've talked about. Like, at some point, you're going to have to get off this hard and fast rule. Now, it's only been 2 years. Maybe the right pitcher hasn't made himself available. They were willing to give Yamamoto a bunch of money. He's 25 years old. So they don't want to pay for 30-something pitchers long-term big money. And I understand it. It makes sense on the surface. But if you're going to compete with the Dodgers, who are throwing out Snell and, you know, Yamamoto and Ohtani, and like this, the unbelievable Glass now, the rotation they're throwing out at you, like, to compete, I feel like you got to take a chance. And you can't rely on the Montases and the converting relievers into starters and Griffin Canning and Paul Blackburn. And you can't rely on all these guys. Well, they have, all of them, been unbelievable this spring. You look, Griffin Canning just gave you another good performance. He's been great. Blackburn's been good. Clay Holmes, who is now the Met opening day starter, has been spectacular with his new kick change and what he's been doing. It's to the point now where, I mean, they have the Midas touch. Now it's spring training. You got to see more, obviously. The season hasn't even started. But so far, it has been an unbelievable spring training for the New York Mets. They've dealt with some injuries as well, but their pitching staff continues to just throw out guys and have great outings. Again, it's spring, but I you know, you look at Griffin Canning. Someone has belief in him, because the guy was allowed to be so bad last year. Like, you look at these stats. When you say he was the worst starting pitcher in baseball last year to make 30 starts, it's not as bad as it sounds, because why was he allowed to make 30 starts? Like, there's promise there. There's something there that obviously David Stearns and the Mets felt like they could tap into. It's yet to be seen. But I am just amazed at what we have seen from the Mets rotation in this spring training. Amazed. And it's got to continue into the season, and they're going to be down a couple starters to start the year. We'll see how long before Manaea comes back. You know, we still don't know exactly how built up Kodai Senga is going to be, but the depth of this team, even McGill has pitched really well. The depth of this team and the depth of the rotation that they talked about at the start of the year, they like their depth better than last year. They like their depth. All right. The depth is one thing, it's okay, but you need frontline starters. You want to be successful. And now, because of the injuries, the depth has had to step in. And so far in spring, the depth has been unbelievable. They have the lowest ERA in spring training in baseball this year. They've been pitching their ass off. It really is incredible what the Mets have done here. And then you get to the Yankees, who are dealing with the injury bug again. As Clark Schmidt, who had a start skipped the other day, we'll get into this a little bit more on the other side, 888-808-1019. Clark Schmidt skipped the start in spring just through a bullpen because of some soreness in his shoulder. Apparently felt great after the bullpen. We'll see. And I want to talk about Cookie Carrasco, because there was a tweet from Jack Curry, and Jack Curry is the Messiah. Jack Curry is where you get all your Yankee information from. He is someone who speaks for the team. It's, if you are a part of Yankee Twitter, if you follow Yankee Twitter, God help you. And then second, the way they speak about Jack Curry is actually kind of funny. We monitor every move he makes. I love Jack. I think he does a great job. But it's funny. Like, it doesn't. Hal Steinbrenner could tell you something. Aaron Boone could tell you something. Brian Cashman could tell you something. They'd believe it less than what Jack Curry says. So Jack Curry put out a tweet talking about Carrasco, his swing and miss stuff, and he's most likely in the rotation. And people are all up in arms. Will Warren's had a great camp. This is what the Yankees are throwing out there, Carrasco. Carrasco has been good. He's been hitting 94 miles an hour, and more than that, he's got to be in the rotation to start the year over Will Warren. He's got to be. As great as Will Warren's been, and we hope Will Warren can be what Luis Gil was last year when Cole went down for the start of the year. The Yankees are in a different position with all the pitchers they've traded away. They had a key injury, even to the next guy, Hampton, the minor league pitcher that probably would have been next behind Warren. He just had Tommy John surgery. They have no depth. We were just talking about the Mets' depth. The Yankees have no depth in the rotation. They can't just throw away Carrasco. He's had a good spring. Can't throw him away. And if you pick up Will Warren, you're not going to put Carrasco in the bullpen. And even if you do, you're not going to stretch him out. Like, he's got to be in this rotation to start the year, and then they'll have to pivot to Will Warren at some point, which they will no matter what. But people are so hung up on it, they don't have a choice. The injuries have left them no choice. The Mets are throwing out Griffin Canning, and the Yankees are throwing out Cookie Carrasco. The difference is, everything the Mets touch turns to gold, so we're all excited about Griffin Canning, and everything the Yankees touch turned to you-know-what, so we're all expecting the worst. Wake up, Yankee fans. It's going to be just fine. We'll get more into that as we go through the show, taking you all the way to midnight. A little bit of St. John's coming up, a little bit of baseball coming up, a little bit of Marco coming up as he's walking in with his freshly groomed beard, throwing it in my face. 888, you have to be an overnight listener to get that, and I'm not going to spell it out for you. Make the transition. Do yourself a favor. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Also listen to these hours as well as listen to me. We'll come back right after the break, after the update, take you all the way to midnight right here on The Fan.